We are not doing anything fancy this morning in terms of our sound, so I'm just going to talk loudly because I know I have a voice that carries. So there you have it. I am Melissa Millis, white-bodied cisgender female, and I am wearing an alpaca sweater, as I always do in the winter, sometimes in the summer, and I am now double-layered, as some of you have already questioned and pointed out and made fun of, and I don't care.
It was in love.
I know. Here we are, friends, in a new year, one filled with so many unknowns and endless possibilities. Disruption of rhythms during Advent set the pattern for this year ahead, giving way for continued healing as we now come together at what we are calling Base Camp. In this series, we are going to look at the life and actions of Jesus, our great elder, as told in the Gospel of Mark. We will engage the invitations to healing and restoration through the tools that we, as followers of Jesus, pick up, pack, and carry along the way as stories come alive along the good road. Exploring mutuality, becoming whole, and improvisation inherent to the journey itself, we prepare for Lent. The title that we've given to this series is Base Camp. Jesus is my Sherpa. This subtitle is a play on some bad VBS titles, okay? This year, we embark on a journey. We acknowledge that we have spent considerable time in the last several years working through our own healing journeys that have included stepping into lament and celebration. And this year, the Spirit seems to be taking us on a trip together again. We imagine ourselves preparing for a long hike. Think Pacific Crest or Appalachian Trail. Hikes that a number of people have written and told stories about, often highlighting the ways the journey allowed them to reclaim themselves in some ways and discover themselves in other ways. Y'all know that we love a good title for sermon series, and so we decided to lean into this idea of reclaiming a part of our stories that seem to have been lost when we had to throw out some theologies that caused us harm along the way. And so we're going to go back to Vacation Bible School all year long, and we hope that this series titles throughout the year offer opportunities for us all to joyfully repack our bags. This morning, we start by charting the course of healing through the concepts of call and kin found in Mark chapter 1 and chapter 3. You will notice from week to week that we will take significant jumps forward and sometimes backward because of a schedule thing that I wanted to claim through the book of Mark. And so you can take a look at the series sermons on the website, and you can just follow along. And if we jump from week to week, we encourage you to read in between, if you will, to keep up with the story itself. I'm going to read for us two sections from Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, and then chapter 3, verse 31 through 35. They're very short. And then I'm going to provide a couple of orienting definitions, and then we'll just head into brunch together, as you're all here for, right? I'm hungry. I don't know about you. All I've had is coffee this morning, so woo! All right. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Mark chapter 3, verse 31. Then his mother, Jesus's mother, and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, Who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So in charting the course to healing, let me offer a few framing ideas and definitions for us. These are from, mostly, Prentice Hemphill's book, What It Takes to Heal. And we will be referring to this book very often and utilizing it for our upcoming seasonal small groups, which we'll share more information about that coming up. So first off, what is healing? Prentice offers us a bit of help here. They say, healing is the process, often lifelong, of restoring and reawakening the capacities for safety, belonging, and dignity on the other side of trauma. Healing is an orientation to living rather than a destination. It is a commitment to mending and developing our emotional awareness and integrity, or what we might call here at Trinity, wholeness. Prentice continues saying, I don't think healing begins where we think it does, in our doing something. It begins in the realm of dreams and imagination, spirit, a place of potential where possibilities reside, where we retrieve through prayer or in dreams, visions for ourselves and for the world that makes us more whole. And with our visions in place, we can recognize them through what follows, our commitment and the steps we take toward them. Visions are a call. Name them out loud, bring them into being, and move them toward fruition by staying the course. I believe this is what Jesus is doing in calling the disciples in our text from Mark chapter 1. The journey to healing gets charted through hearing and being affirmed in the call of Jesus, the one who elders us along the good road, understanding ourselves as kin or a part of the kingdom. We might note that the book of Mark actually leaves out the birth story of Jesus, intentionally setting up the scene of family in unconditional ways, particularly clear through our Mark chapter 3 reading. Prentice defines practicing kinship as a family forged in unconventional and particular ways, and they say this: by looking into another's face and admitting that we are familiar and related. It's rejecting the fear that there is not enough care for all of us, an unfortunate illusion created by our current systems and culture in which separation from and by one another produces the perception and reality of scarcity. Instead, kinship creates the abundance we need. This should sound familiar if you were here during Advent on Joy Sunday. Each week of this series, we'll consider what Jesus models through eldering in the text and what it takes to heal, what base camp experience we need to engage mutuality, wholeness, and improvisation along the good road. We'll be frequently returning to the idea of mutuality. You're going to get really tired of us using this word. And, of course, Prentice offers a helpful picture saying this: mutuality allows us to feel or at least maintain a curiosity for our own being, our own sense of self, at the same time that we perceive and take in the other person. Mutuality, relationship, is an exchange, an interface with unknown outcomes. It is a reminder of an encounter with the infinite. We've already touched on and danced around a bit the definition of wholeness in considering what healing is. So let me just take a moment to speak to the last term that's going to come up several times throughout this series as we consider what base camp experience we need. And that is the word improvisation. We all know what improv is, especially in relation to comedy, probably. But Samuel Wells offers some helpful ideas in his book called The Drama of Christian Ethics, and he says this: Improvisation means a community formed in the right habits, trusting itself to embody its tradition in new and often challenging circumstances. The church has ample resources for every eventuality it faces, and it finds those resources among the discarded elements of earlier parts of its story. This is what we mean by improvisation as we understand locating ourselves at Base Camp throughout this series. Before we engage in our feasting liturgy and enjoy some brunch together this morning, I want to invite you to just pause, to take a breath, to locate for yourself what base camp you are at right now. What base camp experience do you need to engage in mutuality, wholeness, and improvisation on the good road? Let's just take a moment. Just God, I think about all the ways in which we might anticipate what a base camp experience might feel like or be needed, especially as we step into a new year, especially as we never know what kind of trail or road might be taken. What would be in the way of paths that are good and right and beautiful, who we might meet along the way, what healing might be needed, what we might pick up in order to face the realities before us. And so this morning, I ask that you would help us to be attentive to the Spirit that continues to stir and breathe and have its way among us. That you would continue meeting us here at this place that we hopefully sense as a base camp, as a place of belonging. We breathe in and we breathe out your Spirit that animates this life. Thank you for being with us, Emmanuel. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.